You're listening to your official ADHA podcast, bringing you an inside look at the latest from ADHA. And now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of your official ADHA podcast. I'm your host, Matt Crispin, and very excited to have you back with me once again as we are in the midst of celebrating a very special month, National Dental Hygiene Month, which celebrates all of us as dental hygienists. Really excited, as I shared with you in a previous episode, that our friends at Colgate Oral Pharmaceuticals are the official sponsors of National Dental Hygiene Month in 2020. We're really excited that they are partnering with us on this very important month where we're celebrating you as dental hygienists. In the midst of a global pandemic, the dental hygiene community has come together in really extraordinary ways. Your voices have been raised, you've endured hardships, and together we're emerging stronger than ever. We are essential healthcare providers, and this month in October, we are joining with Colgate, as I mentioned, to celebrate the courage that dental hygienists have and show every day as they face adversity. So we want you to show us what your face of courage looks like. I've incorporated this theme of courage and fearlessness into the last couple interviews that I've had, but we want you to submit a photo that captures how you face the day. That means anything from wearing your PPE with pride to educating the next generation of dental hygienists, or to staying connected while you decide when it's right for you to return to work. You can submit those photos to our communications team at communications@adha.org. And if you tag those, hashtag NDHM for National Dental Hygiene Month 2020, do those on social media. The first 100 to submit a photo are going to receive a Cheers to Courage mug with green tea to enjoy. Plus, everybody that submits a photo is going to be entered to win some really great prizes. One of those includes registration for the 2021 annual conference in Phoenix. Another is an all-access pass to the inaugural all-virtual Dental Hygiene Leadership Summit that's going to be held on January 15th and 16th. This is something new that we're going to cover in a future episode and talk much more about, but this is a really exciting opportunity for dental hygienists to engage and enhance their leadership in a virtual way. This is the first time we're ever going to be doing this, so we're really excited about that, so stay tuned for more. Another prize is you can actually win national membership dues paid for an entire year. So again, we're really proud to be partnering with Colgate on these efforts. Colgate certainly values dental hygienists, and they certainly join us in celebrating each and one of your individual shows of courage and shows of fearlessness. So we're really excited to engage in this work, and I can't wait to see how you show your courage and your fearlessness by submitting a photo that captures that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And again, we're here celebrating you as dental hygienists. I'm really excited about our guest today. I'm going to be bringing in Jeanette Diaz in a little bit. We're going to be talking about some of the research that she's doing in regards to males in our profession. So, you know, as many of you know, I have had the privilege and really the honor as serving as president of the American Dental Hygienists Association. I certainly acknowledge and accept and appreciate the fact that I had the privilege of serving as the first ever male president of our association in our nearly 100-year history. We make up such a small percentage of our profession, but it continues to grow, which is really exciting. And I think some of Jeanette's research is going to talk to some of that. I know for me, as a male in this profession, one of the things I shared at my installation speech as president was that I didn't want to be remembered as the first male president. Of course, that's something that I own. It's something that will be tagged to me forever in history. However, I really wanted to be remembered for making a difference, for making an impact, and for continuing to move our profession forward. And I certainly feel as though I've done that. I hope many of you saw that. I certainly know I'll be remembered for being president when the pandemic, coronavirus, as we now know it, has swept our nation. And Lisa Moravec, our current president, continues to do amazing work for our organization, for dental hygienists like you across the country, to ensure that you remain safe, that we continue to advocate on your behalfs, and we continue to put ADHA at the forefront so that the community, the public at large, really value dental hygienists as essential healthcare providers and see the important role that we play in improving the public's oral health and, of course, their overall health, which we know is directly connected to the mouth. So let's get to our interview so we can learn a little bit more about males in our profession and the experiences that they have. Really excited to be with our guest today who's joining us for our podcast. And I'm excited to have Jeanette Diaz, who is a dental hygienist in California and an ADHA member, joining us to talk a little bit about some research that she's done. So welcome to the podcast, Jeanette.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
And I guess I should say welcome back because you've actually been on the podcast before, not with me as host, but with Diana Corbin, who is our previous host that was interviewing a variety of different hygienists doing interesting things across the country. And it would be great if you could maybe just give us a little bit of background on yourself, though, for any of the listeners that might be new to you, just kind of what you do, what's your educational background, what kind of work are you doing now, where do you live, that sort of stuff.
Okay. So, my name is Jeanette Diaz. I am a dental hygienist in Southern California. I've been practicing for 13 years. I also have a RDHAP license. So I work in private practice, and I also see mostly older patients and patients who have a difficult time getting out of the house. I attended Cerritos College for dental hygiene, and I recently completed my master's at MCPHS in Boston.
Okay. So for those that might not be familiar, RDHAP, could you just explain that a little bit more?
Sure. So RDHAP is the Registered Dental Hygienist in Alternative Practice, which allows the hygienist to have their own hygiene practice, either standalone in an area where there is a shortage of dentists, or you can have a portable mobile hygiene practice, which is what I have.
Okay. So is it your own practice?
Yes.
Okay. And so you do you work also in like a four-wall dental clinic, or is all of your work mobile?
All of my work is mobile, but I do work, you know, in private practice so I have my hygiene practice, and then I work with my employer that I've been with for 13 years.
Yeah. So how has your mobile work been impacted with the pandemic?
Oh, it's been impacted greatly because a lot of the patients that I serve have underlying health conditions. They've been confined. They can't leave. So it's really slowed down a lot. I do call and I check in to see how things are doing, but I really haven't seen any patients since the beginning of, you know, when the pandemic hit.
Wow.
It's been difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really challenging to hear what everybody's kind of dealing with, you know, even people that are back to work, there's challenges there, and people that aren't back to work, there's challenges, and they're not back to work for a variety of reasons like you've experienced. So what I really am excited to talk to you about today is some research that you've completed. You mentioned that you just finished your master's degree. Is that in public health or is it in dental hygiene?
It's in dental hygiene, but it does have an emphasis in public health.
Okay. So I had learned about the research because you had reached out to see if I could help kind of get people to contribute to the research.
Yes. Thank you.
So maybe why don't you just tell people a little bit about what your project was?
Okay.
Just give us a little bit of background.
Sure. So for my master's, I did a thesis, and the topic was experiences of men working in dental hygiene. So what I wanted to find out is what do men who are a dental hygienist experience? In my hygiene class, there were three guys. And I've heard that, you know, they're kind of the minority in dental hygiene. We don't see too many men. But I have had, you know, I've had friends who are hygienists who are men. And I always wonder, well, do you guys experience anything different? You know, I've heard some things. And so really I decided to spend my time on this thesis to find out. And when I looked at the research to see if there was anything on it, I found that there was a thesis and then there was one one research that was done in like 1999. So I felt that it was time and there was a need to do some mm-hmm. research on this topic.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because I think just a few years ago, some of the workforce data that we were looking at ADHA was showing that at the time we were about 1% of the profession. And the more recent data shows that men make up about 2% of the profession. So we've doubled in size. But it's an interesting place to be for sure. You know, myself being a male that was in hygiene or is in hygiene, not clinically anymore, but I had a lot of interesting experiences as a clinician, as a male. So why don't you tell, and we're going to talk about your research kind of in two parts. We're going to talk today more about the qualitative information that you pulled out in your research, and then you're still in the process of finishing up all the quantitative data. So we're going to have you back another time to talk a little bit more about that. But what would you say were some of the key things that you found as part of your research, things that stuck out to you?
Well, I found that there were five themes. I had focus groups, right? So I had interviews with male hygienists, and the five major themes that came out were the number one was that men experience stereotypes. The second one was that men don't want to be, they don't want to feel like, not just because I'm a guy, I'm a hygienist, they don't want to be called like male hygienist. They're just a hygienist. The third theme was the experience discrimination. The fourth was reverse discrimination or special treatment. And the last one was that they bring balance to the work setting. So those were the five major, major themes. And there were some other minor themes that we can talk about later. But these themes, I did my literature review, I did it on nursing. So I looked at male nurses to see what they experienced. And men in nursing also had, experienced gender stereotypes. So I found that to be interesting that men in dental hygiene also experienced that.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with somebody on this very topic. At our hospital, we're doing a lot of work on inclusion, diversity, and equity. And I'm serving as one of the co-chairs on a group that is made up of Hispanic and Latino members of the healthcare team. And I was sharing with them that these are people that are not all healthcare professionals, but we talked about when it comes to inclusion, there's oftentimes these stereotypes in healthcare where people think that, you know, the doctors are males. And yes. So people will think a physician or a dentist, they sort of associate that with a male, and vice versa, female to be a nurse or a dental hygienist. And so when you experience this other person that you're not used to seeing in that role, it creates an interesting dynamic that you have to kind of address that patients sometimes don't necessarily understand. So it's interesting that some of that came out in your research. So, you know, you mentioned the five different areas. Are there any of those that you want to maybe just kind of elaborate on, and we could talk a little bit more about some of the challenges that you found?
Sure. I think the first one, stereotype, I mean, there was a lot of discussion on this, and some of it was also, like you mentioned, you know, that people think automatically, you know, male in a white coat, or, you know, that you're the dentist. So there was a lot of discussion from the participants that there was confusion where people would just assume, you know, that they were the dentist. But also it was interesting that some would say patients, it jumps from stereotype to discrimination, where patients would be okay having a male dentist treat them, but then they didn't want they didn't want a male hygienist treating them, which just doesn't make any sense, you know? Right. But these are things that people have experienced, or men in dental hygiene have experienced, or flat out just patients walking out or saying that they don't want to see them. I was surprised. I mean, I had heard that from other colleagues, but I didn't realize how often this was happening. also the discrimination from, so not just from patients, but from employers where male hygienist said, you know, I went on an interview and flat out was told, oh, I would never hire a male, or a couple of them mentioned going through a job, like a agency, and being told by the agency, oh, you know, it's not going to work out. You know, they're not looking for a male hygienist. I was surprised, and it kind of saddened me to hear this. But seeing that the numbers have increased, you know, slowly they've increased. What I found, it was less than 1% in 1999 to about a little over 4% in 2019. I mean, it's a slow increase, but I think that with time, maybe when patients start to see more male hygienists, or there are things that I think we can do as an association, as a profession, to show that we have men in dental hygiene. I think that might also help to combat some of the issues that the men are dealing with.
Yeah, when I was working in clinical practice, I actually only worked for one practice for 4 years before I started working more in the administrative realm. And I had a really challenging time finding a job. I had a lot of interviews where I would leave thinking they had went, like the job was mine. And then I had interviews that were like you described, where they took a turn mid-interview where you could tell there was no interest or openness to them having a male hygienist. So it was unfortunate, but I found a really great practice and I worked there and I really loved it there. But I always would tell people the funny thing that when I first started there, they had never had a male hygienist work for them. Mm-hmm. But when I would go up to greet patients, I would get one of three reactions from patients. They would go like, oh, you know, and they wouldn't, you knew what they were thinking, but they didn't say it.
Right.
And then the second one was just a normal reaction, like, okay, I'm coming back. Not, you know, there was just, they were indifferent. And the third, they would flat out say it. They would just go, oh, I've never had a male hygienist before. I've never had that. So, you know, it was always interesting, but I did have similar experiences where there were patients that said, you know, I don't want to see him again. But I had a lot of great patients that wanted to see me, and it was good. But, you know, just to have to deal with some of that is never what you want to have to deal with.
Right.
Was there anything that kind of jumped out? I mean, you mentioned this already, that this part of it kind of did surprise you a little bit in your findings, that men were experiencing this.
Yes, I was surprised at how flat out employers or patients felt comfortable, you know, just flat out discriminating. I was really surprised by that. Another thing that I would say surprised me a little bit was that this was more of a minor theme, but men mentioned that they felt like they understood what women go through in a just an everyday like work setting and in life. So they felt like more like they could empathize with women, which I thought was really interesting. And that was a theme that was, I would say, brand new. I didn't find that in any of the nursing literature that I looked in. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Another thing was that reverse discrimination or special treatment. They mentioned that there was a better, kind of like a better vibe in the office. And sometimes when you ask for something, you got it done quicker than your female counterpart. And there was camaraderie within the office with other male staff or like a male dentist. So I thought that was kind of interesting and neat.
The last theme you mentioned about you found that males sort of brought some balance or some, I can't remember the phrasing you used, but that was interesting to me. I've not heard that.
Yeah, it was described as a different vibe. Like that word vibe came up a couple times where it was just a different, something different, you know, in the office. And yeah, I think that I have worked with some men in the office, and I would say that when there's a male hygienist, it does kind of change it. It changes it up a little bit. So yeah. I thought that was nice.
So tell me a little bit more about the research itself. So it sounds like this part of it, you got a lot of this information from interviews that you did, focus groups? Were they individual or part of a group of people that got together?
They were focus groups. So I had between like 3 to 5. And then I believe I also had one smaller group. So I went through and I asked, there was 5 different questions that I asked, and everyone had the chance to, you know, answer the question. And then there was discussion. I think as one participant would, you know, mention something, then that would kind of bring up some other ideas. And so and this was during the pandemic. So it was nice to hear from hygienists kind of, from all over the place. I had, 9 participants from the Western region. I had, 3 from the Midwest. There were 5 from the Southern region. And I even had 2 participants from the UK, which was kind of neat because they had some slightly different experiences. So that was fun.
Interesting. Are you able to elaborate at all on those differences between what the hygienists in the UK experienced?
I would say the thing that stood out to me was the issues that surround discrimination. It sounded like in the UK that was, they didn't experience that. And there's like, I mean, we have laws here, you know, that protect us from that, but it sounded like they're a little more strict about that in the UK.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So then now you're in the midst of analyzing all of this quantitative data, and you collected that through surveying, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that was how I came to know about the research, as you had reached out to say, hey, can you spread this out? And I said, sure. And I connected you with Raphael, who runs a large page for dental hygienists, male dental hygienists. And so there's always really great conversations in that hygiene group. It's very different than other hygiene groups out there. the other thing when you mention about, you know, just, you talked about people not being exposed to seeing male hygienists. I know a dental hygienist. He is a dental hygiene instructor in Florida. And he teaches, I think it's at Miami-Dade College. They have a dental hygiene program there. And he's one of 2. There might be more males. I know there's at least 2 males that I've gotten to know from there that are hygiene professors. They both have their doctorate degrees. And it's interesting, they're both Black, and they have their mix of students are, they have more males than females and more people of color than white people in their hygiene classes. And he attributes a lot of it to, they go into the community and they speak at like high schools and even middle schools to students. So then students have this to think of like, oh, you're a dental hygienist, yes. You know, you look like me, or you have the same experiences as me, I could go to dental hygiene school. So I've always found that interesting. I really need to have him on the podcast to talk a little bit more about that. But I always find that fascinating that, you know, in our world, pretty much in dental hygiene, it's predominantly female, predominantly white. Yes. But in his learning environment, if you're a white female, you're in the minority there, which is almost unheard of when you think about most hygiene classes.
Right, right.
So
I'm so glad you brought that up, Matt, because that was another thing that I noticed in just my, I would say the qualitative, you know, is a much smaller number of participants. But I felt that looking at the numbers, it was more diverse than what you would have expected if I was, you know, speaking with female hygienist. It was diverse. And so I did ask the participants, the last question that I asked was for them to share any suggestions that you have to make the dental hygiene profession more inviting for males. And there was a lot of discussion. I think I found a lot of, I would say, really great suggestions in these conversations with the men. They recommend that we increase male representation and visibility in media, in leadership, and through mentoring. And some of the ideas were to work in the community, you know, to do more of these career fairs. They think that if we expose our youth to seeing hygienists who are men and women who are of, you know, different backgrounds, that you know, maybe that will increase participation from men in the profession. So, yeah, definitely the men were a little more diverse than I would have expected.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, 2 years in a row, I went out to, I went out there 1 year, to California with ADHA, and we visited several different dental hygiene schools. And I was surprised at how many males were in a lot of the dental hygiene classes there. And the same I was in when I went to the Greater New York meeting. I went to NYU, and they also had a lot of males and a lot of diversity, both in California and in New York at a lot of their schools, which was great to see. So I think we were looking at this at ADHA recently, both from a racial and ethnic diversity of our profession, but also gender. And I think what the data was showing us that is if you looked at like what our current makeup is. So, you know, for example, if 4% of the profession is Hispanic, if you look at the current student makeup of all the data we have from students in all the categories, it was double. So there was double the amount of Hispanic students or Black students, and same with males. So, you know, there was a jump. So I think as time goes on, we'll start to see that shift. It's going to take a long time, I think, certainly for males, being that we're such a small percentage of the workforce. But I think the same, if you go back 20 years and you look at nursing, it's probably very similar. There's been a much bigger shift there.
Yes, yes. And that's why I chose the nursing profession for my literature review. I also looked into teaching. That was another one that was, that kind of came up that, you know, back in the day, it used to be women went into teaching professions or professions where they're doing, or like librarianship, that kind of a thing. And so there has been a shift. And one interesting finding is that when men enter the workforce of a predominantly female profession, you see an increase in pay in the profession, and also some sort of like increase in respect for the profession as well, which I thought was interesting. And maybe there could be room for more research.
Do you know, when you, from your research, do you remember approximately what is the makeup of males in nursing?
You know, I don't remember off the top of my head. Okay. I don't think I looked at the actual, the demographics.
Yeah.
Definitely the number of men in nursing is, you know, much higher than dental hygiene.
Well, I mean, you look at dentistry. I think in the last couple of years, for the first time ever, there's been more females in dental schools than males.
Right.
So, I mean, that's certainly shifting. The number of women dentists is increasing. So I think in time, we'll see, hopefully see more males move into the profession that, you know, I know both you and I find very rewarding. So hopefully we'll see that. So we're going to have you back again in the future to talk about some of the quantitative stuff. But before we wrap up, is there anything else from some of the qualitative data, anything that you want listeners to just kind of take away about your findings or any final remarks?
I will say that, you know, for a woman studying this topic, I think I did have female colleagues ask, well, why are you doing this? Or even other colleagues who are men said, well, why, you know, why are you spending your time doing this research? Does it really matter? And I feel strongly that this is important for us to research, because I think, you know, together we can just do so much more. And if if there is a need for us to support the men in our profession, I think that that it could potentially be a really great thing for our entire profession, and as well as our patients, you know, the communities that we serve. So I think that it is something that that we all have to pay attention to. And I do want to say thank you to any of, if there's any listeners that are out there who participated in my study, I just want to extend a huge thank you, because I could not do the research without, you know, without you. I also think that there's a ton of room for us to do more within our association. And I definitely agree that I would like to see more men involved. And I mean, you, Matt, were like the first, I mean, you're the first president. So that was a huge start. So really that's all, just to help each other. We have to work together.
Yeah. Well, I'm really appreciative that we were able to get this together and talk a little bit about some of the qualitative information. I'm excited to hear more about your quantitative analysis when you're done. And we'll certainly have you back and chat some more about this topic. But it was great to have you, and thanks for sharing your learnings with all of us.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, ADHA. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to bringing some more information to you guys.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was great to talk with Jeanette about the experiences that males have in our profession, and I'm really excited to have her back on a future episode to talk a little bit more about some of the learnings that she got from her research. So stay tuned for that. We'll definitely have her back to learn more about some of the quantitative findings from her research. Certainly very interested to learn a little bit more about that. As we wrap up the episode today, we are in October. We are in the midst, I'm sure it's not news to anyone, in the midst of an election, a national election. Many of you probably have state and local elections. And I just think that it's really important that we all take the opportunity to get out and vote. Whether you need to register and request an absentee ballot, or you vote by mail like many states do, or you go to the polls on November 3rd, it's just such an important thing that we as United States citizens have to take advantage of. And it's one of the things that makes me proud. One of the things that I've been sharing with you are things that make me proud or inspire me. And I'm inspired every time I get to go vote, that I get that choice to vote for my elected officials. And I really encourage all of you to do the same. I have already voted, as many of you probably that follow me on social media have seen. I voted by mail and submitted my ballot actually in late September, right when I got it in the mail. I certainly always enjoy going to vote. I love going there. It's just something that I really enjoy. But being a national election in the midst of a pandemic, I felt like, you know, it's safer for me to do that from home and not put other people at risk by going out. Certainly, I know that many don't have that opportunity, so I'd encourage you to get out and vote, but really take advantage of that. It's certainly something that I wear with pride when I get that I voted sticker. It's a bummer that they don't send those to you when you vote by mail. Somebody that I saw on social media posted they got those stickers. I really love that. It just gives me a lot of pride that I get to go out and vote. And I may not vote for the person that wins, but at least I was able to put my stake in the ground and say, this is who I want to represent me. And I would just encourage each and every one of you listening to exercise that right that you have and get out and vote. It's so important. And not just in this election, but in every election, you know, 2-3 times a year in many cases, you have that opportunity to vote for leaders. So certainly take advantage of it. It's such a meaningful piece. It's really the cornerstone of how we function. And it's the same advice I would give to dental hygienists who say, I want to see change in our profession. You have to get engaged. You have to get engaged in the work that we're doing at ADHA. You have to get involved, whether that be at the local level, the state level, or national level. I would just certainly engage you all to do that, or encourage you all to do that. To get engaged and make a difference and be involved and be a change agent for our profession, for our organization. There's lots of exciting things happening in dental hygiene. I'm so excited to be a part of it at this venture, at this point in time. But there are even more exciting things coming for this profession down the road. So now is the time to jump on this train, get involved. If you're not a member, please consider joining and being a member and supporting ADHA. And I look forward to seeing where we go as a profession into the future. So as always, please continue to reach out, suggest topics for the podcast. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, certainly reach out to me. I love hearing from you. But until next week, continue to think outside the box, be comfortable with being uncomfortable, and continue to imagine what the future of dental hygiene can look like.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of your official ADHA podcast. Be sure to join us next Tuesday to hear more from the ADHA and their guests.